Let's imagine the not too distant future. You feel more in control of your photos than you ever have before. You look forward to the regular creative dates on your calendar. You're moving forward on that project that means so much to you. You are on fire with inspiration, and you are finally scrapbooking consistently. This is not a hypothetical, it's a real life possibility. And for the first time, I've created a workshop specifically focused on the problem of consistency. It's called Sparked, and I'm excited to share it with you for free. Visit simplescrapper.com/sparked to get access to the training and make this possibility your reality.
I feel like I've really been able to tailor my buying skills and knowing exactly what it is I'm going to buy if I'm actually going to use it at the end of the day. I've become pretty good at it. And so now when something happens to sit there and I don't end up using it, the money's gone. There's no sense in feeling guilty. And if you're looking at it and feeling guilty, get rid of it or sell it or donate it or whatever the case is. It's stuff at the end of the day. No stuff should make you feel bad.
Welcome to Scrapbook Your Way, the show that explores the breadth of ways to be a memory keeper today. I'm your host, Jennifer Wilson, owner of Simple Scrapper and author of The New Rules of Scrapbooking. This is episode 255. In this episode, I'm joined by card maker and content creator Justine Hovey to chat about the truths and stereotypes of being a crafter. Hey, Justine, welcome to Scrapbook Your Way.
Thank you for having me.
I am looking forward to our conversation today and getting to know you better. But can you start by sharing just a little bit about yourself with our audience?
Sure. So my name's Justine. I am Canadian. I live in Germany, though. I am a paper crafter. So I started in scrapbooking, moved into card making, and dabble a little bit here and there in all sorts of hobbies, I think, like we all do. During the day, I'm an elementary school teacher. And other than that, I enjoy spending time with my family. And I have a really gigantic 140-pound dog that I enjoy walking. So that's pretty much me in a nutshell.
Nice. I think my 12-year-old daughter weighs about that, so I can imagine how big that dog is.
Yeah, she's a big girl.
So I love to ask our guests what is exciting them right now. So do you have one non-crafty thing as well as one thing inside your hobby?
I think my non-crafting thing is I have a newborn, and so watching him every day kind of learn new things is the coolest thing ever. So that's my thing that's exciting me right now in my daily life. Other than that, I don't get out much at the moment. And for a crafting related thing, I am gearing up for the Paper Crafters Get Organized Summit. So it's an event that I host. So every year, or this is our second year doing it, but we plan on doing it every year, helping other crafters get their spaces organized so they can be creative. And it's such a fun event to put together.
Oh yeah, I bet. And so what are the dates of that event?
April 19th to the 21st, I believe it is this year. Yeah.
Nice. We will definitely include a link to that in the show notes.
Well, for sure.
So I discovered you, which I don't know how we hadn't crossed paths before because you've been around for a while, but you posted this reel a couple weeks ago about things we do as crafters. And I, of course, share a link with everyone so they can watch it. But can you share what spurred the idea to do this type of video?
Sure. It's actually a TikTok trend at the moment of doing a video that says, you know, I'm a crafter. Of course I do this and this, or I'm a teacher, or I'm a nurse, like whatever it is. And then everybody states the funny things about what it is that they do or obvious things that they do. And so I kind of got inspired by that. And I thought, you know, I'm going to jump on this for crafting because us crafty people, we're quirky folks. So it's just it's fun to poke fun at ourselves, you know?
No doubt.
Yeah.
And so do you also share content on TikTok, or are you just a TikTok consumer?
I'm mainly a TikTok consumer. I've posted a few videos, but YouTube's more my thing.
Okay. So you're a card maker today. Can you tell us a little bit more about your journey in crafting? You mentioned earlier that you started as a scrapbooker.
Yeah. So it originally started, I was at my cousin's house. She had just had a baby and she was making a scrapbook for her daughter. And I just thought that was the coolest thing. I always like to tell everyone, you know, I feel like I have a very artistic brain, but zero artistic talent. And so, you know, when I saw a scrapbook and I thought, stamps, okay, I don't have to know how to draw. I can stamp something. I can do that. I can put colors together. I can do all of that. So I got really excited that there was finally a creative outlet out there for people who are not talented in the fine arts like myself. And when I saw that, I just went wild and tried to look for things. But I'm from a small town in Canada. We didn't have a Michaels. We didn't have anything at the time. So I became a close to my heart consultant randomly when I was 18, just to get a discount on craft supplies. Nice. And started in scrapbooking. And in the catalogs, there were always scrapbooking and cards. And I found cards was kind of that instant gratification thing where you're done a lot quicker than you are a scrapbook. So I just kind of naturally went into card making, I think, because after several years of scrapbooking about myself, you start to feel a little bit odd that you're just scrapbooking about yourself. I'm not that interesting. So I kind of ran out of ideas and started card making. And I moved to Germany in 2013 and I was kind of bored. I didn't really know anybody and started watching crafting tutorials online, discovered the world of YouTube and was like, I can do that. So that was pretty much how it all started.
So I'm curious now, with a newborn, have you thought more about scrapbooking again?
Yes, definitely. I have even bought myself some 12 by 12 paper again. I'm not 100% sure as to when I'm going to get started on that. I think every mom feels that, but I'm definitely taking a lot of notes that I can include later. And I think I'm going to be starting that for sure again, whether it's posted on social media or not, I doubt it, but more for me, I think.
Nice, nice, nice.
Yeah.
So I want to talk, I think we're going to talk a lot about the stuff of our hobbies today, because I think that's part of what sometimes makes it so funny or humorous, because we often acquire a lot. So what has been your relationship with the stuff of your hobby over the years?
That's been like an ever-changing thing, to be honest. When I first started crafting back in my close to my heart consultant days, I possess zero fine arts talent. So when I saw someone creating a scrapbook page or a card, I felt like I had to have every exact supply down to the microfiber cloth that they cleaned their stamps with. I needed to have that microfiber cloth. And so I would say my craft room was bursting at the seams. My craft room was my bedroom at the time. And when I moved overseas, that's when I was forced to kind of look at myself a little bit and be like, okay, this is getting a little out of hand and you can't take everything with you. And because I always tend to move every few years, I think my relationships with stuff has changed a lot. And the more you grow in your hobby, I think too, the more confident you become in your skills and you realize, oh, actually, I don't need that exact thank you stamp. I can use one of my other thank you stamps. It's going to be okay. I'm going to switch out the color if I don't have the color, you know, that kind of thing. So over the years, I went from actually having an insane amount of craft supplies to actually having a fairly limited amount of craft supplies where they all fit into one Alex drawer. Now, I would say it's definitely because I do this also as a job. It's changed. I have a craft corner, I guess you could say. I have one of those dream boxes that's filled, but that's about it. So I have a certain amount of space. I can only use that space. And that's kind of like, I guess, talking about the amount of stuff that I have. And I really personally try to look at my stash and really enjoy it and use it now rather than being a collector of craft supplies. I try to actually be a crafter these days.
Nice, nice. Yes. I think making that transition is sometimes hard because we do love new things so much. There's always, and particularly with social media, there's so many messages like being slammed at us and showing us how all the beautiful new things. Why do you we love all these things so much as crafters particularly. I think this can go into any domain of life, but I think it particularly plagues crafters.
I think because it's all pretty. I mean, it just brings so much joy, everything that we buy, right? I mean, it's all like fun and it's all, you know, pretty and things we love and colorful. And I think we just enjoy collecting it. And then there's also that fear of using it too, you know. We have beautiful patterned paper that we might not ever get to buy again. So we don't want to cut it or, you know, that kind of thing. And I think that's why we love the new things so much. I mean, everyone generally has some sort of hobby. And, you know, why do certain people have so many tools, or why do certain people have, you know, so many golf clubs, whatever it is? I think everybody enjoys what they enjoy. And, but crafting is definitely a very much a consumer hobby.
Yes. Well, it keeps us all going, right? If we didn't have things to buy, it would be much harder to do the things that we want to do.
Absolutely. And everybody says it's cheaper than therapy, right?
Maybe is the question.
Maybe.
So on that note, I thought it'd be fun to talk specifically about some of the points you made in your video. And you also did a collaborative follow-up with some of your, you know, creative friends. Yeah. And I think it's funny because it's true situation for sure.
Absolutely. I think everyone goes on the same, like, card making, or whether you're a card maker or a scrapbooker or a paper crafter, I think everyone goes on that same journey of like acquiring absolutely everything that you could possibly need and then kind of realizing, okay, I need to actually start using the stuff. And I think everybody just goes on the same similar journey for sure.
Yes. And so it's often this like mental negotiation with yourself as well of, do I really need more? And just because you want it,
do I really need another flower?
Yeah. I think in particular, crafters love to collect sets of all the colors. In your video, you showed your mm-hmm. Copic markers. I have a drawer of Distress Oxide inks and all the colors. Yep. We like to have all the different tools. Why do you think we equate this acquisition of stuff with the acquisition of skill?
Well, first, I think having all of the colors, I think I'm guilty of this in some sectors of crafting, but not all. I think it has to do with the fact that, hey, if I see a color combination or a certain coloring technique or whatever, I want to be able to replicate that exactly. Mm-hmm. And I think when people think to themselves, okay, if I have all of the correct colors of the markers and I try to color like this person and it doesn't work out, then I know it's me and it's not the markers.
True.
And I think we also have this sort of, I think, over the years with the way life's changing and things, I think everybody just kind of forgets that you need to practice at things. We kind of expect to be good at things right away. And so we acquire all of these things to be able to produce the techniques that we're seeing, and then often forget about the fact that the people who are showing these probably have years and years of experience, maybe even professional training for that matter. And then we kind of realize, oh, maybe that wasn't quite the exact investment that was necessary. It's actually, I need to invest in my skills more.
So do you feel like you are still often wanting to collect the full set, or do you try to pull yourself back?
Generally not. I mean, not to say that I don't. I think I have every Catherine Pooler ink, and I do also think I have all the Distress Oxide inks. And I think the Distress Oxide inks, you make a good point there with having them. It has to do with, like, if I see a color combination out there, I want to be able to do it. So I want to have all the colors. But I wouldn't say that's the case for absolutely everything. I know for a fact, other than a standard green color, I don't use a lot of greens. I don't use a lot of browns. So I know generally at this point in time, unless a company's sending them to me, I don't buy those ones.
Yes, yes. What about the tools? Like, I was definitely a person who was like, I'm not going to buy all the tools. I don't need everything. And then now I'm in this place where somebody's giving me directions for this exact size circle. And I'm like, well, shoot, I don't have that punch for that exact size circle.
Yeah, I think tools actually are the one thing where I don't hold back very often. Mm-hmm. And the reason being is because usually tools, at least in the card making world, allow me to get more out of the stuff I already have.
Nice,
and
yeah.
let me try actually new things. Because after you've been paper crafting for, you know, 15 years, usually there's not a whole lot of tips and tricks you can teach the old girl. So when a new tool comes out or something like that, I'm usually the first one to invest in it, because it's going to allow me to do something new. And that excites me these days.
What is a favorite new tool that you've brought into your life?
That's a good question. I don't know if it's the most new thing, but I'm really enjoying the hot foiling trend with mm-hmm. the Spellbinders Glimmer machine. I have a lot. I know a lot of people bought it and they said that it's, you know, they'd never use it, or they only use it every once in a while, but I tend to use it a lot and I love the foiling look of it. And so I think that's the thing I'm most excited about still, even a couple of years later.
Now, okay, for someone who's definitely more of a novice in the card making world, mm-hmm. what's the difference between using the hot foil machine and something like the Mink machine on a printed image?
Yeah. So for the most part, as far as the final look goes, you aren't going to see, especially if you're not a paper crafter, you're probably not going to see a huge difference. It's shiny. It's pretty on both ways. The mink laminator, or when you do laminating foiling, it requires a different foil, first of all. And when it attaches to a toner ink. So you can print things off your computer and then foil them. You can grab yourself toner paper and foil that and die cut it and things like that. It's generally the cheaper alternative. With the hot foiling, you are using heat and pressure to put foil onto cardstock, and it often leaves a little bit of a debossing look because it's being pushed into the cardstock. So it's got a little bit of a different texture, and it uses metal plates. So it's almost like dies, where you put them through the machine, and you put them on the hot foil machine, then you put them on the die cutting machine, and it comes out almost similar to investing in dies again. So it's definitely more of an expensive hobby, that's for sure. But you get a lot, I would say, different detail as far as it goes between the laminator and the hot foiling.
That's what I was wondering. Can you do a lot more kind of intricate designs? Because I think, you know, using the laminator can sometimes be fussy.
Yeah, I find I can definitely get better results. But also with the hot foiling machine, you have to always think, like, when you're putting together, when you have your platform and your plate and your paper and your sandwich that you got to shove through the die cutting machine in order to get a good impression, your paper thickness really matters in that. So you got to kind of get the right, it's a little finicky in the beginning, but if you're using similar cardstock all the time or the same brand and you have that sandwich plate down, then you're all good to go. And I don't find I ever really have too many issues with it compared to the laminating, where I would often have little black specks everywhere.
Okay. So, of course, there's frugal ways to participate in paper crafting, including using the stuff we've already purchased. But in general, both scrapbooking and card making are kind of expensive hobbies. Why Absolutely. Do you think we're willing to make this investment to, you know, produce a card that costs way more than if you were to buy it off the shelf?
I think that making cards, I even when I talk to so many of my friends that are card makers, a lot of the times we don't even send them. And that's the funny thing. Or when we're scrapbooking, it takes us, you know, 10 years to finish a scrapbook, if we ever finish them. But I think it's just, you know, it's taking time for ourselves. It's usually a de-stressor. It's doing something for ourselves. I think for me, at least, it's more about the process and what it does for me as a person. Calms me down, centers me, takes my mind away from the outside world. To me, yeah, it's more of a hobby than it is a giving thing in my personal situation. And I think that the same as every hobby, it's something that we enjoy, so we invest money into it and have fun with it.
Yes, for sure. I think it's just like I appreciate there's both the kind of the personal enjoyment of creating the thing and then the outcome, whether you're appreciating it because you kept it or you're sharing it with others. So there's like there's multiple layers to it, which is there nice.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so we've talked a lot already about how it's really easy to accumulate more stash than you will ever use. Why do you think we often kind of overestimate how much time, energy, and motivation that we're going to have to use what we purchase?
That's a good question. I mean, it is easy to get sucked into the buying part of it. And, you know, time, energy, they all play a factor. I mean, if you work full time during the day, you have kids, you have all these things, you really have limited time for yourself. And I think sometimes we always have that, or sometimes we have that feeling, you know, one day I'm going to do this, or one day I'm going to use this. And, you know, one day that my day might come. You know, I have a lot of crafty ladies in my retirement group that are retired and they craft all day long whenever they want and wherever they want, and they have a lot of fun doing it. And so I think it's just a natural thing to think, okay, if I invest in this, I'm going to be motivated to actually do it. And sometimes that works and sometimes it doesn't. I mean, I have hobbies like card making has been my thing that has stayed consistent over the years, you know, for 15 years now. And I don't think I'm giving it up anytime soon, but I do have things like knitting and crocheting and all sorts of things where, you know, I just kind of bought it and then tried it a couple times and then never did. I think we can all relate to that. Whether there's a good reason for it, I'm not too sure.
Yeah. I feel like there's a sense of like hopefulness. We always want to see what's possible. You know, when we see what other people make or what's new, we think of our best selves. It's kind of part of that new year energy. And I think that's sometimes why we, you know, overcommit, especially in January.
I love that, what you're saying, like the new year energy. That's a perfect way to describe it.
Yes, because like we love it. So we want to do all the things, and it's hard to like balance that with reality of the actual follow through.
Sure, absolutely. And I think the nice thing is now, since, you know, the last few years and everything turning into home office and being at home a lot more, I always recommend to people who have that feeling to actually join a class, like a live class or some sort of membership program, and actually show up to it so that you're actually planning and scheduling time and you're watching this happen. So follow along and do it too.
Yes, 100%. That's definitely, that type of accountability and connection really makes a difference.
Definitely.
So you mentioned like some of the crafty things that you purchased, like knitting that you're not really working on. Do you ever feel like guilty about having those things?
I think I used to, especially that first time that, you know, I had accumulated so much stuff. And then when I went to go sell it off before I moved overseas, I really couldn't sell it. And I just stood there looking at this mountain of craft supplies and like, what is this? What did I do? I think that I can definitely relate to the guilty feeling, the guilt of spending the money and not doing it and trying to commit to something and not doing it. But on the other hand, I think I've learned over the years, and I hope that every crafter learns over the years, what it is, or you start to find a pattern in your stuff. If you're truly looking at your stuff, I always use the example of critter stamps, like little animals, little beavers, little unicorns, things. They're so cute. But I've learned over the years when going through my stuff that as cute as they are, I never actually pull them out. So I've now learned to look at them and appreciate them for what they are. And now I don't buy them. I feel like I've really been able to tailor my buying skills and knowing exactly what it is I'm going to buy if I'm actually going to use it at the end of the day. I've become pretty good at it. And so now when something happens to sit there and I don't end up using it, the money's gone. There's no sense in feeling guilty. And if you're looking at it and feeling guilty, get rid of it or sell it or donate it or whatever the case is. It's stuff at the end of the day. No stuff should make you feel bad.
Well, and I love your point, because when you get rid of it, it's not there to remind you to feel guilty again. Once it's out, you probably won't ever think about it.
Another thing, like, you know, if you're a type of person that really has a hard time getting rid of stuff, you can put it in a box and just close it up and put it somewhere else. Like, I always recommend taking away from your craft space, put it in the basement, put it in the closet, whatever the case is. And if you don't go look at that for like 3 months, 6 months, give yourself a time frame, then don't even open it again and just put it away. Take it away, whether it's recycle center or donation or whatever. It's gone now. You haven't thought about it. You're okay.
Yes, I think that works really well. I do that with like clothes, and I tie it in a garbage bag really tight where it's so hard to open it up. You'd have to probably rip the bag, because I'm like, you know what? I haven't opened this. I haven't like, no, I needed something to, you know, be willing to rip it. So I'm just going to take this to the donation place and trust that I made the good decision to get rid of it.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I also want to talk specifically about some of the anecdotes relating to, let's say, quote unquote, neglecting our homes and families. I don't think any of us are really intentionally doing it, but I think this is an important point, because I think a lot of crafters are hard on themselves for taking time for themselves. Why do you think it's so important that we do invest this time in self-care?
Well, I think 98% of crafters and scrapbooking and paper crafting are women. And maybe it's a little less, maybe it's a little more, who knows. But I think women always try to take care of others before taking care of themselves. So I think, you know, taking time for a hobby or a paper crafting or taking a class or going to a retreat or whatever the case is, for some self-care is the best thing that you can do for yourself. I tell this to my members all the time. By you taking an hour a week or even a day a week or whatever it is to do something for yourself, it's going to make you a less stressed, better person, better mom, better wife, because you've taken that time to do something that's not stressful, that is taking away maybe some anxiety from yourself and just letting you shut out the world. And it's probably making you a better person at the end of the day. And so I think that's why it's so important to do. And why we feel guilty about it, I hope everyone, even myself, learns to let that go at some point, because taking time for yourself is one of the most important things you can do.
Yes. Yes. I hear your little one crying in the background. I think that was the perfect background for that particular point.
Yeah.
Because, you know, it will always be a balance no matter what you have going on in your life. Mm-hmm. But as you said, we often are kind of much happier and more content and able to fill all those roles that we have or wear all those hats when we do invest time for ourselves.
Absolutely.
Justine, this has been so fun. Can you share where we can find you online and anything you have new or coming up later this year?
Sure. So you can find me at my name, justinehovey.com. And that is where you'll find my courses, my classes, all of those types of things. And don't forget, I think that applies for scrapbookers. It would be great that who are listening to sign up for the Paper Crafters Get Organized Summit. It's papercraftersgetorganized.com. You can throw in your email address right there and we'll email you when registration starts. It's all free. So it's a super fun event and you'll definitely love it. So between those two things, you'll have more than enough to keep yourself busy.
Sounds good. We will include those links in the show notes. Thanks for spending time with me.
No, thank you very much for having me.
And to all of our listeners, please remember that you have permission to scrapbook, craft, and make cards your way.